All right, praise God. Before we get into Bible study, let's just lift that up before the Lord. Lord, we thank you that you've already heard us. You've already heard our prayers and our hearts cry. Lord, we do ask for your wisdom and your righteousness. Lord, as we begin to converse, Lord, about your justification, Father, I pray, I lay this before the Spirit of the Most High God, that you would lead, guide, direct us. Father, help the conversation be pointed, Lord, and always pointing toward you. And Lord, we're grateful and we thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we're in Romans chapter 5, and it says, you are justified by faith. Amen? I absolutely believe that, right? My justification is not in works that I can do, and it tells us that in Ephesians chapter 2, that we are justified not of works. Amen? But God, who is rich in mercies, for his great love wherewith he has loved us, this is Ephesians 2:4. Even when we were dead in sins and trespasses, sins hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. For grace you've been saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I see two things in justification here, and we're going to look at James also. So there's the, I am justified by faith. I'm justified because God called me. I believe what he said, right? I believe that if I answered him affirmingly, that he puts my name outside of the name of the folks that are born and stuck by the snares of Satan in this world, right? Not that I've made it there yet, but he tells me that I'm seated in the heavenly places, and that you can only get seated in the heavenly places if you are justified, made right, made righteousness with God. And that tells me there that I can't do it by my own works. But in James, he says, show me your faith but without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. In Romans, it says, we're justified by faith and not by works. So, the dilemma is not really a dilemma for me, but I think it's a good, because we're going, when we talk to people in these last days, these questions, these things will be coming up. And we study to show ourselves approved unto God, right? We study these things out that we might know that we may be able to give an acceptable answer to whoever asks. So what does it mean to be justified, and how do you get it? How do you answer that to an individual that's seeking?
I didn't know you were looking for an answer.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll do this again. So how do we...
So justified means being set aside.
Set aside, right? Yeah.
Sanctified. The only way you can do that is by bowing the knee to Jesus Christ.
Right.
And that the work, that you don't do that by working your way to it, but the works follow your faith,
right,
which is proof of what you believe.
Right.
They're the fruits of the Spirit that you receive.
If you believe it, you'll obey it.
That's right.
Amen.
And it produces fruit, which fruit is works.
Right. Amen.
Right.
So it's obedience,
yep,
and allowing the fruit to grow. So the are you justified before the works start, or are you justified after the works have begun? Question. Make sure.
Before.
Thank you.
Before.
I believe it's before. Amen.
You have to be.
Go ahead, Alan. No? Okay. So I believe that you have, it's like what came first, the chicken or the egg?
That's right.
The chicken did.
That's right.
We could not even begin to think righteously, think being set apart, think being separated
from
the world without being called out from the world to start with.
It doesn't originate with us.
In
due time,
there's
Christ died for the ungodly.
Right.
So you need that first, and then the works.
What is that, Romans 8:29? Or is it 5? It might be 5. I get us confused. But in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's
before
Romans.
Any works.
While we were yet sinners. We didn't get gooder to get God.
That's right.
God got us. I hate that because it's stupid commercial. God understood the frailty of man, and with his great love, he rested upon you. He called you by name.
Right.
But he knew your name before you were ever formed. He knew you before the foundations of the world. So God knew the justification, and this is going to go into pre-destination. Because God knew the bloodline of those who would be his.
Yeah.
When the bloodline started with the promise to Eve, thy seed, right? And so he knew that there would be a bloodline that travels throughout all of the world history between the righteous, the offspring of the serpent, and the offspring of the woman. All right? He knew that that was going to happen. And he knew your name long before you were ever born. Jeremiah said, before I was conceived, the Lord knew me. Before I was conceived in the womb, the Lord knew me.
That's right.
So he's already... Now, we got to be careful with the predestination, because there are those Calvinists out there that say, you know, with predestination, God's irresistible grace, and no matter what, if you're going to get saved, you're going to be saved.
But that's them saying he made the choices.
Yes.
Right.
He decided.
He decided,
right.
Yes.
Where it doesn't say that in the scriptures.
Yeah. The sovereignty of God, knowing all things, he's outside of time and
yep.
space, he knew what choice you were going to make.
Yes.
So that, and I am predestined.
But you made the choice.
The thing
right.
is, I am predestined to his kingdom. I
yep.
can break that.
Right.
Right, by turning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can become apostate.
Right.
And all of us can. That's where it tells us not
he
to think.
He would know that, too.
He
That's
would.
Right.
He knew Adam's sin before Adam was created, and he breathed his spirit into him. All right? He knew those things were going
to
happen. He knew that the temper...
He has to give us choice.
Yes.
He has to, or he's not a God of love.
Right.
He's a God of robots.
Right.
Yeah, and his desire is fellowship.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Willful fellowship.
Yeah, he want people that want to be his.
Right.
Right.
Now, a king, right, a worldly king would say, I'm going to force you to love me.
Right.
You know, Nebuchadnezzar had that problem. I'm going to build the band, and when you hear the band, you got to bow down, you got to worship me.
Yeah.
But that doesn't affect the heart.
That doesn't
That's
affect the heart.
That's only showing on the outside
Amen.
What you're obeying.
Yeah.
Saul's rebellion, right, when he asked for mercy from Samuel.
Yeah, Sammy boy.
He said, the people won't respect me.
Yeah.
Instead of, I have sinned against God.
Yeah. And, well, we were in John... Wednesday. What chapter were we in? Anyhow, we're in where Lazarus had been raised from the dead, and then the Pharisees said, well, we've got to kill him and kill Lazarus. Why? Because the Romans are going to come, and they're going to take our authority away. Christian, we need to understand that we have no authority outside of Christ Jesus. But well, I also know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, regardless of what comes. Why? Because I'm justified. I have peace with God. That's another way of looking at justified. I was once an enemy of God, right? I did my own thing. I did what I wanted to do, and nobody could make me do anything different until God. He met me in the middle of my darkness when I was yet a sinner. Christ saved me. I didn't, you know, there's nothing that I did to get saved except bend the knee.
That's right.
Like Tom was saying, bend the knee. And I'm not talking about just squatting. I mean, this is a heart thing. It's a more of a spiritual thing. Get some.
I've heard those say that, well, Jesus died and paid for it all, so I don't have to do anything. I don't have to repent. I don't have to. And again, it's like me handing you a gift and you just not accepting it. I've got a computer, okay, that I just got out of the box the other day. In a month from now is my birthday. I got it for my birthday last year. Well, that was a gift given to me, and I've never done anything with it.
Never opened it.
Right.
Never opened it.
That's right.
Okay. And so, in the same place in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. He is our justification. I am justified by faith to Jesus Christ. And I have peace with God because of that. It's Long time ago, I heard this when I was just freshly, Ronnie Lalonde, the man who led me to the Lord, showed me scripture. And he said he liked to use this, just as if I died. All right? Justified. Just as if I died.
Yeah.
Right? And so that peace with God is when I wrestle with the Lord about my flesh. Not unlike what Jacob did when he wrestled with God all night and he changed his name from Jacob, heel catcher, to Israel, one who wrestles with God. I had to come to terms with my flesh, with my sin, with my unrighteousness, and be broken, right? I had to get my hip put out of place, right? That I might learn to live with God, to have that peace, to embrace the justification. I had to die, right? To be sanctified, set apart.
You lose something fleshly.
Yes.
Like a hip joint.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
And you gain something spiritually.
Spiritually.
You know, I'm getting back to what Alan said. Commercial is actually unbiblical. He died for the whole world.
Right.
Doesn't mean he gets the whole world.
Yeah.
Right? Because the whole world has to receive him with a broken and a contrite heart, and they don't.
Right. And they
so
don't.
He died for the world. He doesn't get all of us.
Well, when Jesus paid it all, he paid it all. He died for the sin of the world. Not the sin of the individual, but that is encompassing that. He died for the sin of the world. We know from 1 Corinthians that all nature is groaning for the day of redemption, right? Every bird, every leaf, our leaves out there that are caught with that cedar rust on our apple tree, those leaves right now are begging to be set free from the fungal...
The curse.
The curse, amen. From the fungal infestation that's on them. They don't want to do... They want to live in the sunshine.
That's right.
They want to do photosynthesis. They want to do the things that they were created to. And when they are, and I'm going to justify that plant by dealing with the sin problem that's in it. Ooh, how about us personally? I got a fungus in me, all right? There's a fungus among us. I got a fungus in me. It is my sin.
He's going to clean that up.
He's going to clean that, but I got to be willing
to
allow him to do the hard things. We cut a drum of infected leaves off that tree, right? I mean a drum. It's one of those big Rubbermaid garbage cans. We're over half full just with leaves. But if I don't do that, it's going to damage the fruit.
Yeah.
Right? So I've got to take the leaves off and take them out of the scene. And not only that, the cedar trees across the yard on the other side, I've got to cut them down because that's the source of the infection of the fruit-bearing tree. So there's a blight that's in the cedar trees, and it is accepted in the apple trees. And as the apple tree allows this fungus to grow in it, it grows spores, which then re-strengthens the infection that came from the cedar tree. So to cure the apple tree permanently, you got to kill the cedar, which is a crazy thing. But when you look at that as being justified in Christ Jesus, there's a sin problem. And the more I allow that sin problem to live in me, it strengthens the sin seed where it came from. So to deal with that, I must kill the other. Why? That I might be able to bear good fruit. Those are the works, right? And those are works. Dealing with the sin problem that all human beings have. Doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. I think we all are in and amongst all that. And in James chapter 2, we'll be looking at that here. James chapter 2, it says, what doeth it profit, 2 and 14, what doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Great question. Well, we know that we're saved by faith. We just read that from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. We're saved by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But can the verbalization of faith save a person? Or is it the works of the faith that save the person? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye have not, you gave them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? Even so, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yeah. All right? So,
it makes perfect sense. It does.
So I have faith in Jesus Christ. And if a brother or sister come to me in need, and he's talking about church folks, right? It's not just anybody, but these are particular folks. If a brother or sister come to you in need of clothing, daily food, needing help with my child, yeah. Right? I have a broke leg, I can't mow my lawn. Whatever that thing is. And they come to you and say, man, I need help. And you say, oh, brother, I'll pray for you. But you don't get out and you don't take care of that need, then your faith really has no works, which makes it dead.
That's right.
You know, there's an action to faith. Now, I know that I'm saved by faith, or saved by grace, and not of works, lest any man should boast. I know that. So my works is not what saves me, but as Tom had just said, because I'm saved, there are physical attributes. There is an outpouring as a visible sign of one's salvation.
Like, the salvation is the inner man, for the body without the spirit is dead.
Yes.
So faith without works is dead also. So the spirit in the inner man reveals what the outer man is doing.
Yeah.
Works. Right, the response to it. And, you know, we bring this verse up a lot about parable of seed and sower.
Yeah.
But he that receives seed on good ground and heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bring forth some 100, some 60, some 30. So it's the inward man that is producing the outward evidence.
Yes.
Of your faith. Right?
Amen.
So profession of somebody professing words.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing.
Right.
If it's not anchored right. In faith. If it's an outworking of faith and the words come forth, that's serious.
Right.
And it's going to manifest itself. The works will manifest.
That's themselves. Right. Yes.
And that's just the work. That's the creature. And that's just a manifestation of, you know, whatever.
The
new creation that they are.
Yeah.
Gives you credibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a new creation.
It's the inner man that is doing the works. Yes.
And remember, and it's also the inner man that's fouling the works up.
Right.
Remember when Jesus was going through the wheat field, the corn field, and his disciples picked some grain and they were cleaning it, and the Pharisees said, oh, they're doing work on the Sabbath day. Right? They can't do that. And Jesus says it's not the things that enter into the mouth that corrupt a man, but the things that proceed out of the heart.
Think of what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're going through the harvest and they're separating
grain from chaff. Yeah. Yeah.
On the Sabbath.
On the Sabbath.
There's a picture.
There is a picture there. And learning how to be justified, not just in the heavenly realms, but being seen as justified on this earth. The world ought to see a difference.
Yeah.
And when the world sees a difference, it will hate you. Jesus told us that in John chapter 15. The world will love its own. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. It hated me first. Yeah. Yeah. I just run so many truth bells in my head. Yeah.
I missed a breakaway Friday night.
Uh-huh.
For like the fifth time in two games. But that one got me. And I said something. I shouldn't have said, and they all knew it. Some Christian you are.
Oh, yeah, amen. Yes. Yeah. Same thing with my family member there.
You say thank you, Lord. When they said that.
No, I really don't. No.
I was convicted.
He doesn't know what a breakaway is.
Well, yeah.
What was this?
He missed a breakaway. I thought that was a Kit Kat bar.
I was going. For the fifth time in two games, I went one-on-one with the goalie.
Oh, okay. So you stood on one goalie and he was on the other?
The other four didn't bother me, but now frustration is starting to seep in.
You broke away from the defense.
And I said something.
Oh, okay.
They all heard it.
Yeah.
And they all know where I stand.
Yeah.
And I heard it.
Yeah. And God pointed it out to you as a chastisement. Yeah. Amen.
Aren't you just singing hymns on
the You know, David would say, keep me from my reproach.
Yes.
That's a reproach.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And David prayed, you know, Lord help me. I don't want to be a reproach to you.
Right.
Because that stuff.
Yeah.
The world will see.
Lord help me.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, the reason my stepson is so offended at me is because he thought I lied. He thought that I stayed up here and I said that I didn't have any alcohol in the house, which I may have said. I mean, I've said things like that.
Based on what you were thinking.
Right, based on what I was thinking, right? And
this is an innocent oversight.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if it was President Biden, they wouldn't think nothing about it. But anyhow, but say, so I very well could have said, I don't remember, but he took it to heart. And as he was snooping through my house, he found the stuff that I made.
Because he was looking for
it. Yeah, because he was looking for it.
Looking for a reason to
broadside
you. Yeah. And in that, he used it at the opportune time to supposedly ruffle my feathers. Right?
Rough you up.
And you'll find it.
Yeah.
You look for flaws in every single one of us, even Nancy.
Yeah.
You'll find it.
Right.
Oh, I'll list them. They're mostly against me.
Yeah. And so, but yeah, the world's looking. It's funny that the world doesn't desire to walk in the justification of Christ, but they can point out anything that the Christian...
Because it saves them. It comforts them.
Yes.
Because they
what did he say about Satan accusing the brethren?
Yeah.
They can say there's no God in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
See, when I fall, they can justify their faithlessness. That's right. There's no God in heaven.
Yeah.
Right.
Heaven fell. You know, that's what it... Yeah. You know,
yeah.
Curtis
fell. Yeah.
Curtis Trump.
Yeah.
And they say those words all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Nobody thinks twice about it.
Absolutely. You know, and so...
Isn't that an opportunity to just say, you're right, I was wrong?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. You know, and I don't know if that came out in that conversation. No.
I would say if you read the Bible, you'll understand what I did.
Yeah. But then again, when you're talking to a dog doesn't know how to read. Yeah, I mean, just in a non-Christian doesn't, you can show them the Word of God, but they cannot.
Pearls before swine.
Right, yeah. Don't cast the pearls before swine. And, yeah. Yeah, did you?
Yeah. What was the context?
I don't
know. We were talking about Trump. I don't remember. We were in the car.
Yeah. And so this justification is absolutely by faith, but it's also proven by your work.
That's right.
Okay, there's an also in there. It's also proven by your work. How do you know I have faith? It's the way that I love and I care. And I tend to other people at the same time, keeping myself in check, knowing that I have a judge in heaven. All right, now, am I justified? It brings us back to Romans chapter 6 again. Should I sin all the more that grace may abound? God forbid. No, we should not. I am justified. I am a king's kid. So are you. You're a king's kid. We need to live as you are. An ambassador unto Christ, right? We
those
need
that to preach the gospel.
Should live by the gospel, amen. And to embrace, you know, the sin. Not to say that it's okay, but to recognize that there is sin within all of us.
Yeah, he there gives me examples here of being justified, which I think I agree. You're saying that. Those are the works that follow your belief.
Yeah.
So he's telling you, Abraham believed.
Yeah.
And it was, so Abraham believed first, then he did what God told him.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. He didn't say, well, I'm going to, you know, leave, you know, this land to go down to that land, and so God could justify him. You know, God said, get out.
Right.
Then, same thing with Rahab the harlot, right?
Yes.
She heard God was coming, the saints were coming, and they were going to destroy this place. Then she protected the two women, the two spies. She didn't say, well, let me hide them first then, so I could be okay in God's eyes.
Faith is a seed.
That's right.
Yes.
And working out of that seed, the fruit of it is faith.
Is faith.
I mean, it works.
It works, yeah.
It can't be any other way.
That's right.
So faith comes first.
That's right.
Okay, and Works comes after that. Justification even comes before faith, I would dare say.
That's right.
God calls you as a sinner when you knew no righteousness at all. You could not even understand righteousness. And God moved over you, and he saw you, and he saw his bloodline in you.
Yeah.
He saw your faith before you ever had faith. He saw the faith in you. And he said, I'm going to increase that. I'm going to touch that person. I'm going to call that person by name. Okay, in this, God calls every single person, even if they're not in the bloodline. I truly believe that. All right?
Oh, yeah.
Because he died for the sin of the world.
Absolutely.
Right?
They should perish.
Not that any. How many is any? That means even the worst, most decrepit person caught in the deepest snare of Satan.
Even Manasseh.
Amen. Even Manasseh, that he would have a chance to know the Lord. So even over the most wicked individual, God still shows mercy until that person rejects totally the mercy of God.
Right.
But now once at the end of the world had he appeared to put away sin by sacrifice for himself. So he has already appeared to all the world to put away sin.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I think we were doing a couple months ago on Tuesday nights going through Hebrews. Hebrews, by faith, is your sanctification.
Yes.
Through faith is the justification.
Yes, there you go.
It makes sense.
It comes by and through. By faith, God justifies. Through faith, the world sees your justification.
Yeah.
All right? Now, and we can't do these things just being a moral, upright individual. Right?
It means nothing to the world.
Amen. It doesn't mean nothing to
the world. The eyes of the guy.
Yeah.
That's the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in that, as a Christian coming up in 2025, how do I intend to work out this salvation, this justification? And ask yourself that. That's what I ask myself all the time. All right. If there is works in justification, which we saw in James, in salvation, in faith. Well, you show me your works without faith, I'll show you my works by my faith. All right? You show me your justification without working out justification, I'll show you my justification as I work out the proof of justification. And the example that he gives here is Rahab the harlot, how she hid the spies. Abraham, as he sacrificed, offered his son as a sacrifice, right, and left the land of his home, homeland. My justification before God can't be judged by human consciousness. No man judges me but God. Right? So my actions of justification is between he and I, but it's evidence on this earth. I struggle against the works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 6. Right? And it starts out with fornication and adultery, and it goes through all these lists. I struggle with those things, right?
Because you still have your flesh.
Because I still have my flesh. I try hard not to give in to those things, but you know, it happens.
You're not perfect yet.
You're right. Go ahead, my friend.
Even so, faith that hath not works is dead.
Is dead. Yeah. Alone. Yeah. Amen.
So, because God wants us to walk in these good things.
Yeah.
Right. Is that willing to? I'm trying to think from Ephesians. By grace you are saved through faith.
Yeah. Yourself, 2:9-8.
If the God not of works as any man should boast, for He's called us those good works.
Yes.
But He's called us to that. He wants to see those.
He wants to see those. Yeah. It should be evident.
Well, I think, curiously, you're saying we have a responsibility to this.
Thank you.
We have to respond to make sure we don't slide off the path. And I think the answer is in John 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
Yeah.
Now ye are clean through the word,
yeah,
which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in Christ.
Amen.
The vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and he is withered. And men gather them to cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear
much fruit.
Works.
Oh,
fruit.
Fruit, yeah.
Right? Right? So that ye may be my disciples. We're
Amen.
His disciples.
Yeah.
We're supposed to take these words.
What does disciple mean?
A follower.
Follower, student.
Student.
Right? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to finish and rush that. I didn't with Ephesians 2, 8
yeah, yep.
through 10. Mm-hmm. Chapter 2, 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Everybody, we got saved, we all knew that one.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
All
right?
Not of works, lest any man should boast. Says not of works.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus.
There you go.
Unto good works. Good works.
Which God
yeah.
hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Yeah.
So that's an outworking of that faith, right?
Yeah.
It's his workmanship.
Mm-hmm. His workmanship.
And he wants to see us walk in that.
Just want to comment on the verses Tom was reading.
Yeah.
There's only one way to abide in him.
Yes.
Right.
And this is this.
That's it.
That's the only place
yeah.
we can find him.
And there's
Amen.
Only one of these.
And there's
yep.
only one of these.
mm-hmm.
And if you get away from this, you lose the source of faith.
Yeah.
And then, like in the third example of the seed and the sower, the first two have time associated with them.
Mm-hmm.
But the third one does not.
Right.
That can happen anytime.
That's right.
Yeah.
The cares of the world can draw you away.
Away.
Anytime.
Anytime.
And that's where the real problem is.
Amen. Go ahead, Adam.
I've got 1 Peter 3, starting in 8. And finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, tender-hearted, courteous, not returning evil for evil, reveling for reveling, but contrary blessing, knowing that you were called to do this, that you may inherit blessings. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain the tongue from evil. Let his lips speak lips from speaking deceit. Set back a little bit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous.
Hmm.
His ears are open to their prayers. But their face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he that who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of the threats or the trouble.
Yeah. Amen. We have nothing to worry about
exactly.
in Christ Jesus.
Exactly.
Again, if we believe that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called for his purpose, that means all things are going to work for good. All right, this justification, well, back in Ephesians, right, if you read on past 10 and 11, wherefore, remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were uncircumcised by them which called the is called the circumcision in the flesh made with hands. Remember, before you were you didn't even have a life before you were justified. You didn't have a life. You had no faith. You had no way to walk and to know God at all. You weren't part of the commonwealth of Israel. He's not talking about Hebrew people. He's talking about the true Israel, because not everybody who says that they are of Israel are actually of Israel. Just because you say that you're Abraham's seed doesn't really mean much. You need to be of that bloodline of righteousness, of that predestination. And like we've already talked about, only God knows who is and who isn't. Our job is to make sure that this vessel that's standing before you, or that when you're standing in the mirror, you look at the guy in the mirror, that man is justified by faith, and your faith should have a work to it that equals, or at least, what's another word that is the personification? Is that the word? Personification of righteousness. That
manifestation.
That's it. Manifestation. So the manifestation of righteousness in the individual is the proof of your justification. That you no longer walk as Gentiles walk.
Yeah.
That you strive to be holy because He's holy. I need to be just as if I died. You know, just as if I am in the world but not of the world. Right? Now, a lot of Christians, American Christians, especially American Christians, don't hold to this doctrine. You know, I prayed once, I'm good, no matter what I do, yeah. I'm okay. All right?
Dangerous doctrine.
Yeah, it's
that
easy.
Doesn't require much of me.
Yeah, right. In fact, He doesn't require anything of me. I can live as I used to live and still be justified.
Because it actually creates a, how do I put it, a license to have fun.
A license to sin.
Because I'm taking care of them. I can actually live to a more grievous life than if you were unsaved. How does that sound?
Right.
It blasphemes God.
Is that not the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit?
A lascivious lifestyle and saying you're a Christian is a blasphemy. You're saying that Holy Ghost dwells in me when He doesn't.
Right.
Right? Because you're allowed to live a sinful lifestyle.
A license to sin.
That's right.
Yeah. A license to sin.
You know,
James Bond.
You think the time license we're living in now is... Like, maybe in this country we're not physically persecuted, although our brothers and sisters are, but in this country we are tempted.
Yeah.
With everything thrown at you, whatever desire you lust, whatever it is, probably like no other time before in history, because it's right at your fingertips. And God says, my brother, count all joy when you fall into diverse temptations.
Mm, yes.
So temptations are a part of your affliction, your tribulation, your persecution, even, because we are living in a time right now where every fleshly desire is right at your
finger,
and we have a church, fundamentalist teachers that say, "Well, you're good.
Yeah,
you're good.
Yeah, you prayed after me.
That's right.
You know, as long as you prayed after me, you're okay. You're justified because you prayed after
me."
Which, as we've said 1,000 times, says no scripture.
None.
There is
right
not
with this, right with this country's.
Yes.
Materialistic excess.
Why is America's church so dead? We don't truly believe, well, we don't study what the Bible says.
Right.
We talked about this 2 Timothy, I think it is. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth.
That's right.
Well, you can't rightly divide the word of truth if you don't study the word of truth. Or have the... Amen. Thank you, sister. That's so important. Not every book is the Bible. Not every writing is Scripture.
That's right. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, lest you be
reprobate.
Unprobatable. And then 2 Peter says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of
temptations.
Not out of tribulation, out of temptations. He knows I'm going to be tempted, but He gives me a way out. What's the way out? Here and here.
Amen. Yeah. It is Christ Jesus. His life, His way. And Jesus said that, I gave them thy word is truth.
Yeah.
Right? So God gave us His word. And there's John 17:14, it says, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them.
Huh? No preacher of rapture?
No preacher of rapture.
Oh, man.
All right. This justification is the evidence of your justification is able to stand in this evil world with as little faltering as possible.
That's right.
I won't say without faltering, because I don't think we can do that. But I think it's as little of faltering as possible.
That's right.
Right?
You know, they wouldn't have took a shot at me Friday night if they didn't know where I stood.
Yes. Before. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, because I hear this a lot too. Well, you know, I just lived my life. Well, okay, so there, a lot of people would just look at you as a nice guy.
Yeah.
They don't know why you're a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like Candace Owens and you tell them why,
yeah,
they know why you are.
Right.
So this idea that, well, I'm not going to say anything to anybody, I'm just going to be a nice guy, that's not the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel is calling out sin.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And the world knows it's a sinner. I need to call out sin here first.
Right.
Again, Jesus talked about if you see a mote, a speck in your brother's eye, and you don't even see the plank in front of your own eye, right? Your own face. So before I really, those who preach the gospel should live by the gospel, all right? Those who preach the Bible should live by the Bible. And we know that no drunkard, right, is allowed into heaven. No fornicator is allowed into heaven. No sorcerer is allowed into heaven. You have no reward. And let's just flip over there real quick. Galatians.
No liar.
At the end.
Yes, at the end.
You can be there now and not be there tomorrow.
Right. Oh, come on now. You're right. So that's Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. I can't say this next word.
Variance
and
emulations,
that was the word, emulations. Wrath, strife, seditions, hearsays, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and such alike, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the proof of justification is the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us so walk in the Spirit. All right? As justified people, embracing the justification, embracing what Jesus paid on the cross for my sin. Embracing that sacrifice. And he tells us some of the things, and this isn't the complete list, this is a pretty thorough list, but if you look in Ephesians, there's a list. There's some more and some less, but I think this is the most complete, compiled list in the scripture. 18, right.
Six.
Amen. Which, all of these, if you think about it, compile of just three. Lust of the eyes.
That's right.
Lust of the flesh, pride of life.
That's all he has.
That's all. All these here are just the manifestation of those seed sins.
Yeah.
But Jesus has set us free, justified us. He justified us before we were justifiable. Predestination, yes. Personal decision, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Sinless.
Predestination, yes. Calvinism,
no. Amen. Yes.
Covenant, yep. Theology,
yes. Dispensationalism, no.
No.
Right. So, yeah, go ahead.
He that overcometh, not he that is taken out of,
right.
He that overcometh all things shall, and I will be, wait, shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the mm-hmm. murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars,
right.
Shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire, with brimstone, this which is the second death.
Yes.
Liars.
Liars.
You Say you have the Holy Ghost and you are living contrary to this.
To the Word of God, lying. You're a liar. And you can fool me and I can fool you,
right.
But we can't fool God. And it doesn't matter if you impress me or if I impress you.
Right.
If we're not impressing to God, then we have nothing. We're less than nothing, I would dare say.
So going back to verse 21, they which do
yes.
such things.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that word do
mm-hmm.
is the habitual, chronic,
yeah.
continual...
Well, yeah, because a Christian can't live there.
Right.
You can be in there
right.
for a little while, but
that's
you
it,
can't
that's
live
it.
There.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Those
right.
that practice
right.
that without any brokenness.
Right, yes.
If you could practice that without any conviction,
yeah.
you're doing those things.
I mean, even a word like variance, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Variance is disagreement, dissension, controversy, a state of enmity.
Right.
So if you're constantly in variance, you're constantly disagreeing, that's doing the works of
right.
The old man.
Mm-hmm.
You won't inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
I mean, think about how or even emulation.
Mm-hmm.
Emulation is an attempt to equal or excel.
Yeah.
Rivalry. It's an attempt to lift yourself up.
Yes.
If you dwell there,
mm-hmm.
Do continually do those things in a chronic, habitual way.
You have no reward.
You have a seat
right.
in the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
So you have one a place for you.
And those things aren't the problem. They're the evidence.
They're the evidence
yes,
of
exactly.
the problem.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Because
so
the
chronically,
problem.
You should, if somebody who's emulating or in variance, which seems like a trivial thing,
mm-hmm.
well, that's where wars come from.
Amen.
That's where murder comes
yes.
from.
Yes.
Right?
Plus, these people aren't saved, these 18 things.
Yeah.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
These are works of the flesh. They're not saved.
Right.
So it's like Doug said, we're told in 1 John, if you say you have no sin, make God a liar. We just read verses say, be good cheer when you're tempted. So you're going to be tempted. It's how you react. You may even fall.
Mm-hmm.
But if you consistently practice that sinful lifestyle with any conviction, you're a liar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, even that word David's a good example of
yeah.
savage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fell
yeah.
pretty hard, but
yeah.
he didn't stay there.
Right. He stayed there for a while.
Yes,
but
did.
While he was there, he was miserable.
Yeah.
I think that happens a lot if you fall into these things. You're there a little while.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, and then you get out.
I think do
okay.
means something different. I think do's the most a chronic. It's like a... You
yeah, this is you.
It is a practice.
Is
it is a lifestyle.
Yeah. So, okay, I'll just take myself. When I fail... I literally feel a separation from him.
Yeah.
I literally feel like
mm-hmm.
I don't want to read. I don't want to
right.
sing hymns that are playing on my. I want, and it's just
well,
it's so empty. It's so empty. You
right.
know what I mean,
it's
but
just
when I'm walking with him, I'm like, this doesn't get any better than
right.
right.
But when you fail, that's the first thing the enemy says. He'll never forget
you're,
you.
Right.
Yeah.
what you did. Right.
You're not good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
you know?
When that happens to me, I'll not want to read.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what I need to do.
Oh,
yeah.
I've kind of learned
that now. That
and you find it hard to pray even.
Yes.
Yes.
And I found out now that's what I got to
you know?
Do right
yeah.
then.
I think Alan, like you said, you hit it perfectly. That's his war. That's his spiritual warfare against you, the fiery darts that say, you're not good enough.
Right.
They
say, don't give... Give the enemy a foothold.
You're guilty.
It's
don't
right.
read. You're,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
you're guilty.
And
he'll never accept you.
Is not to keep harping on it, but get up.
Yeah.
Pull up yourself. Get up. Start walking with him again.
And that's why I said to you, seriously, when they condemned you, you said something.
There was a response.
And you're a Christian? You should say, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
You just brought that back to me
yeah.
to remind me that,
right.
you
yeah.
know what, I really messed up.
Yeah.
yeah.
So that word sedition, too, I think these words,
mm-hmm. they,
it's
they're,
good to
they're
know
deep.
What these words
yes.
mean. Sedition means inciting people to rebel.
Yeah.
So if you're chronically inciting people to rebel
mm-hmm.
and creating acrimony and dissent, what are you doing? If that point comes where you're there and
so,
you're not his.
If we are practicing these things and so many other things that we could number amongst this, what are we doing to the justification All right, because you've been justified in Christ, just as if I died. But if you continually live in the
sedition,
right?
Emulations.
You continually live in that.
Yeah.
Then you're taking the righteous justification of God and casting it as worthless. The price that was paid for you, the peace of God, because if I do these things, and when, I won't say if, when I do these things, the wrath came up the other day in the living room. I got mad. And I was embarrassed. All right? And still am, you know?
Oh, the shit hurts. I've been there.
Yeah, sinning is hard on you.
Yeah, it is. I'm not comfortable with it at all.
Doesn't
but it happens.
Healthy and happy.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So I couldn't keep in that. I had to come to the justifier.
Yeah.
That's right.
Confess my sin before him and then repent to him.
That's right. And get back
and
in
get
the game.
Get back in the game.
Don't let it keep beating you all.
Amen. Because
how many times it happens to you? You're getting back on.
That's what separates us from them, Doug. We're children of the light.
Mm-hmm.
We're not of the dark.
So walk in the light.
That's right. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you
as a thief.
Ye are children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others sleep, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that are drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet and the hope of salvation.
Yeah.
We're different.
Amen. We should be different.
That's right.
We should embrace this justification to have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who counted it not robbery to be equal with God. I'm not saying that you're gods. But what I am saying, I am justified through Christ Jesus to have a seat at the table with God. All right?
You have God dwelling
in me. Yeah.
So there's an inner man.
Yes.
It's perfect.
Right. And when I sin, when I break that justification, when I smear it up a little bit, I have a unctioning by the Spirit of God. I almost called it conscience. All right? And it could be called conscience, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it's a deep longing for the broken relationship to be restored.
All right? Conscience means with knowledge, right? That's a Holy Spirit term, knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I think you did nail it.
Yeah. And so in those things, I am justified not of works, but by works. I have faith. Yeah. And it's not because I do the right thing that makes me justified with God. I'm justified with God, thus I do the right thing.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Because of his righteousness put over top of this unrighteous person, I strive against the works of the flesh. I wrestle with God. Sometimes my flesh wins.
Right.
For a moment.
Yeah.
You can't live there. You can't live there. All right? Is it true that for a moment you lose your temper? For a moment. How long does that stay with you? And then, as I lost my temper this week, for the next several hours, I mean all night, it kept me up at night, this thing running over in my mind and praying this morning about it. Like, if this thing, and I talked to you guys about it, if it happens that way, the Lord told me to keep my mouth shut and just let you guys know. Right? If this happens the way I talked about it happening, take a deep breath. Let it happen.
Yeah.
Okay? And let him get it off his chest. It's okay. Don't defend yourself. Just let it go. Now, in that letting it go, because I did say, you're not welcome back in my house, I can forgive. All right? And I absolutely, before he's even asked for forgiveness, I forgive. All right? But as long as he's in the inebriated state, caught in that snare of Satan, I can't allow him in my house. I just can't do it.
Right.
Won't do it.
Yeah, I mean, as a godly man, you had to do that.
Right. And I won't let anybody come in my house and throw the F-bomb around. Won't do it. You say it once because you just don't know and it falls out of your mouth. Okay. You say it 6-8 times, you know, and every time you say, I didn't mean to say that. No, you did. There's a line. This far, no further. All right. And it's because of not knowing about justification, not knowing about sin, not knowing that no drunkard, all right, no drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of God. Not understanding that. But in my job, our job as Christians, we need to have this fruit of the Spirit, which is love. All right? The first one's love. Do I love the sinner? Amen and amen. I absolutely do. But that doesn't make me a fool for his sin. Joy.
In the love is for his soul.
Thank you. Yes,
and
right.
Love is for his, not to be separated from God for eternity.
Amen.
We're commanded to hate evil.
Yeah.
I get it. I can hate that person's sin and love his soul.
Well, Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 5 particularly, turn that person over to Satan. He's talking about a sexual sin there where a man would have his own father's wife, yeah. Right? And he says this, it isn't even heard in the Gentile world that kind of stuff happens. But if that happens, you turn that person over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that a soul might be saved. That he might come, that the chastening of the devil might bring him into the
It might.
It might not. But our job is not to fight that fight.
Right.
All right? So, praying that God would allow any person to have the full weight of the consequences of their sin. Turn that person over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that their soul might be saved on the last day, or in the end, I think it's last time. So, how many people have situations? Yeah. Yeah, amen. It's situations like that. Folks that you've prayed for, that you've ministered to, that you've loved, that just will not. Okay? When it comes to that point where you will not. I love you.
And I'm over.
All right? Allow the fullness of the weight of your decisions to rest fully on you. Those are frightening things. I don't want to ever, I really don't, I don't want to see someone turned over to Satan because they reject the justification of God, because they reject faith. And you just say, all right, God, allow the enemy of humankind to rush their body for the destruction of their flesh. But the Scripture tells us to pray for that. Those are hard prayers, especially when they're close.
And what this verse says, some saved
by yes, fire, my wife fear. Talks about that often. Right. Some are saved by, what is that, honey?
Fear.
And, but others are saved, there's two different things. Some are saved by party hats and poofy things, and others are saved by fear.
Most people, I think, are saved by fear. But
yeah.
Mr. Fabry, I used to work for, he was the principal of the school.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't think that way at all.
Yeah.
He wasn't impressed by that. He was impressed by the good of God.
By the good of God, yes.
And he didn't understand, like, warning people about hell, like,
yeah.
That's not how he was saved, so he doesn't understand that. He was impressed by God's good side.
By God's grace. God's love saved
him.
Yeah.
Going to hell.
And mine's both. I mean, it is the love of God that really impressed my heart.
Yeah.
But it's also the fear of being separated from God.
Yeah.
The one who loves you. He loves you,
yeah.
But he's willing to separate you,
yeah.
Because you reject the justification that he's provided for you.
I think I'm like you. I think, and like him, I think it was his love that really got me.
Yeah.
But then, start thinking about burning in hell.
Yeah.
And rejecting him, walking away from him, and that fear was connected with the love of him.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen. Well, I went longer than what I was planning on. No, I tried to stop around 10 to. Did you find that scripture? I saw you're looking for
it. It's in Jude.
Okay. Oh, it's in Jude. Longest book of the Bible. Go ahead. My brother.
I found one here, Curtis, you know, kind of, I guess, kind of coming alongside you, and you spend time with both unbelievers and then believers, but the time that we fellowship is a lot different. Anyone you spend any time with unbelievers, it's really just a matter of time between that light and dark. It just doesn't mix.
Yes, yeah.
So we take that, and not in a better than or a prideful type of way. You take those thoughts or those feelings that you have, and then what do? We come back and measure it to Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
To see if it adds up or if it's just myself, right? So in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, I mean, you could read the whole thing, but it says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
Yeah.
For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" And then it continues on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we may cross unbelievers in the world. I mean, we still walk in the world. But
yeah.
Fellowshipping, and especially, Curtis, like you said, our homes.
Right.
Right? If someone comes and they're a non-believer, you may say, no, you're welcome on the property, but you're not coming into my home.
Right.
Right.
And that's not, it's harsh in the world way, but, I mean, to not set protections around things that are important.
Your home is a sanctuary.
It's pretty foolish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got your kid by a cliff, you may say, hey, back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
In your home, you say, you know, no, not in my home. You do your thing, and you do it there in your home.
Right.
But in this home, the answer is no.
Right.
And that could, unfortunately, be family.
Mm-hmm.
Or your bloodline.
Yeah.
You know?
And it comes to that.
That verse was on my mind last night because a lot of the commentators were saying, I hope this unifies the country. And I don't want to be unified.
Right. No.
Mm-mm. I can't identify with them.
Right.
I want them to get right, but
I want us, if we're
with them if they're not right.
If we're one nation under God, amen.
That's right.
But that's the key is under God. I don't want to be unified under Lucifer. I don't want to be unified under same-sex garbage. I don't want to be unified under the rainbow flag.
Yep.
I want to be unified under Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
But according to the scripture, that's the way the world's going to be going.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Unification is one.
Right. And that's why God tells us to be called out from that. To be, again, justification. And next week we'll be going over to another word in faith. Because we're talking about the principles of faith. How do you make your faith grow? How do you know about your faith? And we'll roll over next week into something different, I think. Not that we've really talked all about justification, but we ran that horse pretty hard for the last couple of weeks. And so anyhow, by the grace of God, I love you. And let's go to the Lord. We got some time for the bathroom breaks. And Father, we're grateful. We thank you so much for your word, your grace. I thank you for leading this Bible study, Lord, for opening up Scripture in a real personal way. Lord, in teaching us about your justification, help us to walk in the fullness of light, Father, wrapped up in the love and the joy and the peace that you provide. Grant us gentleness, Lord, and we thank you for those things. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.